Well, good. Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews, please, chapter 4. I want to talk about the power of the Word that you need in your life. Okay? It says here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit of the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." God's word is absolutely alive. Quick is alive, living, and powerful. It's by this word that everything exists. It's by what God spoke into being that all existence is there. Your very breath that you're taking right now, He decreed it. The fact that you're alive, all right? The fact that one day when you do fall asleep, you will be raised from the dead. The hope that's been promised is by His word. It is by exactly what God has spoken. And so that word, depending upon your attitude towards this word, depends upon how you live. It depends on the power that you live in your life, the deliverance that you walk in, whether you're full of fear or full of anxiety or full of stuff. Depends on what you believe of this word. That's really what it's down to. It just totally depends upon that. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces and is so sharp that it can separate the joint from the marrow that's in the bone. And that's an impossibility. If you've ever seen the marrow inside the bone, can't separate the two without destroying the whole thing. You know? That's the power of the word that we have. Now, I want to pursue, go to John for a second. Well, first go to Psalm 119, sort of like the theme verse of our church. Psalm 119, 105. I always love this verse, but I want you to think about it. In the 105th verse, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word is not only quick and powerful and sharp and that which holds everything together, it's also your guide. It's also that light when you're going down a dark road. You know, go to John 17, our Lord and Savior prayed, and in His prayer, in verse 14, Gospel of John 17, verse 14, and Jesus was praying to His Father. He says, "I have given them Thy word, and the world hateth them." The Lord Jesus Christ gave you and me the word. He gave it to His disciples there. It's very, very applicable to us. And when He gave us this word, the world hates you. So you got a target on your back. Don't matter, because you got a Lord, you got the Word, you got God as a Father, as long as you hold on to that. But He wants to take you out. He wants to take all the people on the earth out. He wants them to turn away from God. He wants them to have eternal death. He wants to destroy all the things that God wants done. So when you have this word, you have it, ladies and gentlemen, you have it. The world hates you. And that's it. So it don't matter what, I mean, people hate other people all because of a lot of different things. This is a really good thing to be hated over. Really good thing. See, the world hates them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, the Lord prays, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. The truth of God's word sets you apart from everything in this world, if you believe it. Or, if you don't believe it, the world beats on you and overcomes you, and you're full of anxiety and fear, frustration. You know, you're a victim of life. Woe is me. Type of thing. What's the choice? See, are you loved? Does God love you? I'm asking each and every one of you personally. You can answer out loud if you like, but the point is, I want you to answer each question. Does God love you? Did God give his son's life and go through all of that torture to pay for you? So you were ransomed. You belong to him. Yes? Okay. Is there anything that can separate you from the love of God? You remember all that list in Romans 8? You know, persecution, nakedness, peril, sword, famine, pestilence. That's what we got around here in the last couple of years. Pestilence. It's a fancy way of saying something. Nothing can separate you from God's love. See, those are words that have been communicated to you when you read the scripture. And if they're yours, if those words become yours, not just learning them. See, words spoken that have no action or no grip on you are just words. You know, people can say, yeah, Jesus loves me, but then never really walk out in life like he does. Unless you're willing to walk out on what the word says, in whatever category you need, they're just words. They're not believed. God gave his word to the children of Israel, right? On the other side of the Jordan. And he said, go. And what'd they do? They didn't go. And they died in the wilderness. Took them 40 years to drop dead. Must have been a really tough time to be a kid. Guy got to wait till this one drops dead before I can go. Imagine. Imagine being that kind of impediment to your family. I mean, live with it that way. Most people don't think about it that way. Last thing I want to do is to be a burden, right? So these guys didn't believe. So now we got to stay in the wilderness, which is a little boring, for 40 years. And the last thing you want when you're young is boredom, right? The last thing. It's the world's worst thing. Boredom. It becomes appreciated when you get a little older. But think about that. Because they received the word, And it says that it's not too far from Hebrews. They received the promise, but because they didn't believe it, they didn't walk out on it, they didn't accept it and live it, they missed out. They missed out. Their kids got the same exact promise 40 years later, and they went in. The word is quick, powerful. It's coming to pass. The question is, are you going to be along for the ride? Are you going to receive the benefits, enjoy the power, enjoy the peace, enjoy the hope of everything that God says to you? That is, now, what do you got in your life at this particular moment? You as an individual believer. Each and every one of us has challenges. Every single one of us has got opportunities that are before us, dreams, things that we would like to accomplish, things that we would like to do, right? Things that bother us all the time, shortcomings that we would love to change. You have to bring a specific word. You have to bring a specific scripture, a specific word to that particular thing. You got to hold on to it. You got to make it yours so that it's as real as can be. And then walk out on it. See, we call this the renewed mind. I used to have a whole list of cards, flashcards, you know, scripture retemory cards, we called them. It's not really a word, but people make up words all the time, so we might as well do our own too. So we take scriptures so that we could remember and keep them before us and just keep repeating them and then put them to memory, you know, and when the moment came that I needed that word, I needed that promise, I could, in my mind, recite that scripture, bring my mind to that point, encourage myself, and then walk out on it. Jesus Christ did this when he was tempted of the adversary. He said, and the devil came and tempted him, he says, "It is written." He had his own retemory. He had his own memory of the scripture that he needed at that moment that fit that particular point and time. You ever feel like, oh man, what happened? Where's God? Where is he today? Lord, I've been praying for a while and I haven't gotten an answer yet. Did I do something wrong? You get tempted with thoughts, don't you? See, that is that thought a good thought or a bad thought? Because it says that if I have sinned and I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I have that promise, and right nearby that it says that your joy may be full and have fellowship with him. But you got to bring that word, because that devilish thought will ruin you unless you rebuke it. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Christianity is very practical. And you got to see it as very, very practical. It's as practical as paying your bills. You get the bill comes in the mail, a little slower these days, but it still comes. And you got to write out a check from your bank or whatever you do. Most people don't use checks anymore. But you got to pay the bill. You specifically have to address that issue. That's honest. You specifically have to address that liability. Somebody gave you a service or provided something for you, and you have to pay for it. And it's honest and it's right. But you have to do it specific. You can't just say, yeah, I'd really like everybody's bills to be paid and not do anything about it. That wouldn't be cool. That wouldn't be cool at all. You got to do the same thing with the things that come up in your mind and in your heart. And, you know, there's not a huge list. The things that bother us, I don't have a huge list of things that bother me. I have really a fairly short list. I have a short list of things that I'm praying for my benefit. It's a real short list. I have a long list of people that I'm praying for of other people. You know, and I'm blessed to do that, but my things are fairly short. I can bring the word that God has given me, that specific word that fits at that particular need, and bring it to bear and have the power of that word energized, bring it to pass, or settle it for me, pay the bill. In chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, it says in verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not everyday, you know, it's not pencil and paper. It's not hammer and nail. It's not my dealings with you on a carnal level. They're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly. They are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. How? By casting down imaginations, thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I have to cast down every imagination, every thought, every creepy thing that runs through my head. And now during Halloween, there's a lot more creepy things. You know, I don't know why people celebrate death. But at any rate, again, it's the world we live in. It's an assault on humanity. But they don't take it that way. They think it's fun. That's pretty sick. That's sick. Rottenness, blood, guts, being afraid becomes something that we do for entertainment. So the weapon of my warfare, it's got nothing to do with the world and the things of the world, the affairs of the world, the way the world does things. It's got nothing to do with being street smart. It's got nothing to do, all those things won't work. Everything that you learned in life on a sense knowledge level, that is not going to bring deliverance. You know, if you have a sickness, right? Like we lost our brother Doug here, right? Doug McGrain, the beginning of the month. If you got a sickness, you got a cancer, and you're fighting this, you can think positive, you can go to the doctor, you can do a lot of things, and they may be of help. But unless you got the power of the word, you don't win. Now, Doug died. But I'm telling you this, for those of you who weren't at the service that I did, Doug, on his last day that I saw him, that he was still conscious, and which was very close to his last day, he was bright-eyed, blessed. I walked in the room, John, my brother John. He was thanking, praying, happy, blessed. He was suffering. But this man wasn't dying in defeat. He died in victory. Because he knew that the next thing after he closed his eyes, the next thing that he would see would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is, sorry I'm not going to be here, sorry for his loved ones, but he went out with his shoes on, and I couldn't be so, I was never more proud. You know, had his mind, had his strength, no fear. Now everybody goes, right? Everybody will face that day sooner or later. But that's the way I want to face it. It was a wonderful example. And never quit on God. Never did anything except praise God and love God. He had words that he locked in on. I'm going to share those with you today. His weapons weren't. Now, he went to the doctor. He did more things. The doctors told him to give up 6 months ago. Go to hospice 6 months ago. Because they knew they couldn't do anything for him. Nah, we got a shot. I don't care what the side effects are. I got a shot. I'm going to take it. That's everybody's choice. That's everybody's individual choice when you hit your moment. But he didn't want to give up. He wanted to stick around. He wanted to be a blessing. His weapons was he cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of what he knew in God's word. And he brought everything, he bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's a lot of work. But really, it isn't. Because like I said to you before, you have only a short list of things that really bother you as a believer. Maybe you got fear on a certain level, in a certain category. Maybe you got, I don't feel like I'm loved. I don't feel like I'm forgiven. I don't, you notice the word feel comes up a lot? Because, I mean, when you got words that you believe, you feel them. They give you a real response. See, 2 + 2 = 4 doesn't give me a response. It's true, but it doesn't provoke an emotional response. But fear, if I believe something that's wrong, it produces a response. If I tell you that I really love you, you, if you believe that, you get a response. If you don't believe it, you think it's I'm just saying it, it gives you a response in a negative way, right? And if you don't care, 2 + 2 = 4, it's the same thing. So what gives you your responses? What gives you these things? What is it? And they're things that are major. They control what you believe, right? You got these words, they come at you. And many times we've developed these beliefs over many years. I think I shared with you the shovel story my father did with me in third grade. I got a lift back. So I repeated third grade. My old man, my father wanted to motivate me. It was the wrong thing to do, but he wanted to motivate me. I realized many years later that he was trying his best. So he went down to the hardware store and he bought me a coal shovel. He came home. We lived in a four-story apartment building in Queens. There was no coal. He came home and he says, "Put that in your hand, John. See how it feels." I said, "How's it feel?" I said, "Feels all right." I didn't know what the heck he was doing. He says, "I want you to hold on to that because you're a moron. You're going to be digging ditches all your life." He took out two nails and hung it on my wall. I believed him. There was no reason for me not to believe my father. He was the man in my life that had the greatest amount of authority. He was the guy that put the roof over my head and food on the table. He was my dad. Why wouldn't I believe exactly what he thought? Now, he was trying to motivate me not to. But I was in third grade. I felt it. I received it. I lived it. And from that moment on, there was no point in even trying. We'll just get through what we got to get through. See, that's a deeply held belief. You know when I got rid of that belief? When I learned the word, and I learned that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, I learned that I am a son of God with power, that anything that God said in his word that I could do, I could do. And the lie was rebuked. Now, I still had the consequences of not having an education. But, you know, life's got consequences. So I had to work 10 times hard, embarrassingly harder than anybody else, to just catch up to other people. But it's worth it, because I got to do the word. I got to bring deliverance to myself and to others. And I also learned how not to communicate to my children. Great lesson. I want you to go to Psalm 71. The 71st Psalm is a wonderful psalm. The reason it came to my attention is because Doug McGrain brought it to my attention. He said, "This is the place that I go. This is what I read. And it gives me strength. And I am able to do what I got to do." Now, this was his word. This was the word that he needed. I think it's good for a lot of people, but this was the word that he needed. This was the word that gave him the strength to deal with everything for the year and a half. And he made these words. We had a conversation. I told him once upon a time, I said, "You know, when I was in the hospital and I was feeling really low, I was in ICU, I've been through several surgeries, and I was starting to get to that place where I was losing my strength mentally, and I was thinking, starting to feel sorry for myself." And some of these temptations came back, you know, like, why is this happening to me? What did I do wrong? Yeah, I'm getting a little weepy. And all of a sudden, I started to hear the Psalms going through my head. But not the real happy ones, not the real sweet ones. They were all the really nasty ones, the dark ones. Really a better word for it, the dark ones. They're all true. They're all God's word. But my bones are out of joint. My body burns with pain. My tongue cleaves to my mouth. I feel forsaken, destitute. Where are you, my God? Are you going to deliver? You read the Psalms, they're in there too, right? All those words. And I just remember this. I don't know how long it went on. Can't really tell you, but I know that I heard the Psalms being read to me. And then the Lord said to me, straight up, the Psalms stopped, and he said, David felt and believed every one of these things. He lived this, and he didn't quit on me. How about you? And I shared that with Doug. And I think he searched, and he found Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. In thee, O Lord, I want you to feel every one of these words. I want you to know that they're true. I want you to put yourself in this person's place, in David's place. I want you to put yourself in your own life, in the place. And I don't want you just reading the words. I want you to feel them. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Go back and back. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man, for thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I holden up from the womb. You've been with me since I've come out of the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually be of thee. I'm going to praise you. You're the one who has guided me from the very beginning. I am as a wonder unto many. I'm just like a spectacle to many. But thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not from off in the time of old age. That's really appropriate for me. Forsake me not when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none that shall deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries of my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonored that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. And I want to tell you something. Every time I saw Doug, every time I heard his voice, those of you who were on the Sunday morning things in Zoom and you heard him pray, this man, that's all he did. Praise the Lord, love the Lord, grateful, thankful. He never asked for anything. You know, in his prayers, even in the church, he didn't ask for his own healing. He just praised the Lord. He lived these words. These words were words that he took. They belonged to him. He lived them. They were a piece of his heart. My mouth shall show forth the righteousness of thy salvation all the day. For I know not the number thereof. I don't know how many days I got, but I'm going to show forth your righteousness. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. What a verse. I think this is going to be mine. I think I'm going to get this one for me. Put it on a card and read it all the time. I want to be, and so did Doug. He wanted to be productive for every moment that he lived, and he wanted to show God's power and glory to speak God's praise and to show God's power to every individual in the generation that he was involved with and the people that he was surrounded with. And those doctors, the nurses, his family, the believers that talked to him and hung around with him, they saw it. And the neighbors saw it. It was cool. I met his brother, John. I didn't know any of his, but he has an older brother, John. John was just seemed like a real nice, sweet guy, just like Doug, you know. John told me that Doug's growing up, his history, was turbulent, terrible. Family, they hated each other, ripped each other apart. I don't know everything about it, because Doug never told me. But John told me. But they were all amazed. In fact, John hardly talked to his brother, Doug, for many years. You know, maybe at the holiday they'd say hi. Until Doug got ill. And then John stepped up to the plate, like a good man ought to. Helped his brother. Took him all over the place, doctors, every place else. Good men. They may have had a bad history, but I'll tell you what, it ended well. And that's what's important. But John pretty much painted a picture of Doug's life that I had no idea of. He wanted, now when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which showed me great and sore troubles. I've had great and sore troubles. I think everybody who lives long enough has them. Shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You're going to raise me from the dead. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. When we receive the resurrection, you won't have to do this anymore. So you're gonna feel righteous, power, wholeness, new body, new mind, no negatives, no dying, no aches, no pains. Can we paint a better picture? I think sometimes I need to paint that picture a little bit more in my head and be a little bit more excited about those days that are coming. Verse 22, and I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O God. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. Thou, O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. See, you are the children of Abraham. God promised Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. That's your promise. That's a word that's yours because you are the children of Abraham. And God will take care of it. Do you believe it? You don't have to worry about recompensing anyone evil that's harmed you. You should just let it go because God's going to take care of business at the end. And if they should be reproved and judged, then he will judge them. And if they have turned from their evil ways, he will bless them. God's got it all covered. Our Father's got everything covered. What word do you need? What word do you need? You got a Bible that's in front of you. Doug found the place that gave him great strength, was able to deal with all that he dealt with. And I just know that every single one of us would have been challenged to our nth degree if we were in his shoes. But I'm telling you, this quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword word, this specific word that he had in his heart and wouldn't let go of, that he quoted to me as I visited with him from time to time. And I got to find out where it was, so I learned it and I quoted it back to him. He just smiled. Because it was the word that sustained him, helped him stay faithful, got him through the toughest days of his life. It was that word, that specific word. Now, yours is very different, or can be. Yours can be similar, or it can be very, very specifically different. You got to find the thing that fits your temptations, your challenges. You have to read the scriptures and come to that place where this is what I need. Like I said, what is your thing? Most of you know the Bible. Most of you sat here listening to this and listening to me, which is hard to believe, for a long time. Most of you have read the scriptures for yourselves. And yet you've read the verses and yet you don't feel them. See, that's what I'm saying to you. They can't just be lessons. They can't just be beautiful sayings. They can't be things that you wish for as you read them. You have to ask God, give me the word, the rhema, the specific word to hold on to in my heart to bring deliverance. Command deliverance, Father. And you just don't let that word go. That's what has to be done. In order to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, you need that specific word that will cut through the bone and the marrow, sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierce anything that comes your way. I don't care whether it's fear, anxiety. Find the word in the scriptures that meets your need, and don't let it go. And if you need help finding it, ask. Ask. That's what I get to share with you today. Father, I thank you for your love. You've given us your Son. You've given us this word. You've given us the Spirit of the Lord. We have Christ in us, Father. We are completely, absolutely complete in him. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. These are words and promises, Father, that you have spoken unto us, and that we just need to lock onto, Father, and walk out on. Thank you, Lord, for giving us these words. And I thank you, Father, for helping us make them a part of the fabric of our lives so that we believe and hold on to every thought that's yours and that will bring deliverance and power into our lives. I ask you for these things, my Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And... Yeah.